The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 19th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, we have a wonderful, wonderful studio full here this morning. I have four special guests in the studio with me. I have Bernice Espinosa and Leslie Graves of the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, and we will be talking about some of the plans we have here in Sonoma County for our 2020 celebration. Actually, you know, remember, in 2020, it will be 100 years since women were able to vote. Amazing when you think about it. 100 years have passed, and boy, oh boy, it seems like yesterday probably to many, many people, but it's just hard to believe that 100 years is coming up and we're still struggling. You know, it's really interesting talking about women. Today is August 19th. It's the World Humanitarian Day, WHD, which is held every year on the 19th of August to pay tribute to aid workers who risk their lives in humanitarian service and to rally support for people affected by crisis around the world. And this year, on the World Humanitarian Day 2019, that's August 19th, that's today, we honor the work of women in crisis throughout the world. And we know there's a lot going on for women. I mean, my goodness, I don't know if you folks saw the picture of what's going on in Hong Kong. It was just amazing to me. Well, also joining me in the studio, I'm really excited about this, is someone who's familiar to Women's Spaces, Megan Kahn, who's an environmental engineer and who has taken an unexpected journey into the world of pesticides. And joining her will be Julia Royas, founder of the Toxic Free Future campaign in Rohnert Park in 2018. And these two women have a committed goal to make sure that all the cities here in Sonoma County are free of pesticides. That's really a big goal, and I'm really proud to have them on the show and to talk about this. And you know, it's really interesting when you start thinking about women across the globe in crisis. A lot of it has to do with some of the pesticides that are being used globally, and also with the climate change. So there's a lot to discuss about today. Boy, I'll tell you, this has been a real interesting morning for me. I found something to think about that I've been pondering on lately with all this going on in the world lately, and I wanted to read this to you. So I call this usually on my, you know, I write for the Sonoma County Gazette, and I have a little section there saying something to think about. And I found this little quote from Abhijit Nasgar. He is one of the world's celebrated neuroscientists and international best-selling author. And this is what he had to say. It's just really, think about this. I've been thinking about this a lot. No matter which side of the border wins in the battlefield, precious lives are always lost in the process. And no amount of victory can bring those lives back. No amount of victory can wipe away the tears of a mother, a father, or a spouse. What's the point of such a victory that brings only destruction? Think about that. You know, when you look at wars, I mean, all wars are fought in the name of peace. It doesn't work, folks, because we still don't have peace. Look what's going on in the border. I mean, there's no peace there. And what's happening? A lot of destruction. So this is a time that we have to start thinking about, how can we do things better? How can we sit down at the table and start talking about these things rather than fighting so hard with one another? And like it says here, so interesting, no amount of victory, think about this, can wipe away the tears of a mother, a father, or a spouse. You can add friend, you know, you can add grandmother, you can add all kinds of things in there. But just think about it. Once a life is lost or once some damage is done, it's very, very hard to recover from that. So we need to start thinking about those things. And also we need to get more involved. We need to get more involved in our country. We need to get more involved in the issues around our country and particularly local issues. Okay, I have a few announcements. Looks like tomorrow, and I love this, there's going to be a special town hall. It's called the Media Advisory. It's going to be at the Findlay Community Auditorium at 2600 West College Avenue in Santa Rosa. And our own Congressman Mike Thompson is going to be there. He's going to have a town hall. And it looks like he's going to be talking to seniors about, you know, all the different things that are going on with Medicare and with Social Security and all those wonderful things. So you can come down. It's going to be happening tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 3:30 at the Findlay Center at 2600 West College Avenue in Santa Rosa, California. And it really, I just love when Congressman Thompson comes in. He always has a lot to say and is always very, very supportive. A reminder, this Sunday that's coming up, August 25th from 12 to 4 p.m. at Walnut Park in Petaluma, we're going to have the 22nd Annual Progressive Festival. We had an interview last week, if you remember, and it was the Indivisible Petaluma who's taking over the event. And we're going to have some wonderful, wonderful speakers. In fact, one of my dear friends, Dimitri Smith from the Commission on Human Rights, is going to be speaking. They're going to have a lot of music and a lot of art. And, of course, all the nonprofits that are working for peace and justice here in the community will be there. So that's going to be Sunday. That's this Sunday, August 25th from 12 to 4 p.m. at Walnut Park in Petaluma, California. And it's a free event and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then at the end of the month, this is really important, bring your broken stuff to the Northwest Library's Rescue and Repair Party. I love that, Rescue and Repair Party. And you know, we have a throwaway culture. You know, you have something for a few years, you just throw away. And that's part of our problem with the environment. And what this is all about is to, you can bring some of your stuff to the library. It's going to be at the Cottingtown Center Library in downtown Santa Rosa. It's going to be happening from 2 to 5 p.m. at 150 Cottingtown Center in Santa Rosa. And as you know, anything that I announce is on our website, www.womenspaces.com. And if this is, you can bring some of your old stuff and they're going to be happy to fix it. So, and if you have any stuff that you want to repair, they're suggesting you call this number, 707-546-2265, and they'll give you all the instructions on how to get your stuff down there. And also at the same time, they're going to be having a, it's called the Bike Mobile to help you repair your bikes at the downtown library. And one thing that's very important about this event, it's first come, first serve. So remember that, first come, first serve. So there's a lot going on in our community, and there is no reason in the world that you should be bored. Just listen, there's places you can go and all kinds of things you can do. For example, this Wednesday, come on and join the National Organization for Women, their monthly meeting that's going to be happening at the Round Table Pizza at 1791 Marler Road in Santa Rosa. Come, give us your opinion, see what you like. And, you know, people are starting to plan now for 2020, so if you want to come down and you want to put your 2 cents in, we really encourage you to come on down to the Now meeting. Once again, that's going to be this Wednesday, August 21st, at the Round Table at 1791 Marler Road. And one last thing, and I'll announce it also next week, very important. They're going to be having a benefit concert for the Living Peace Wall at the Peace and Justice Center. And that's going to be, the Peace Wall is in Sebastopol, California. And let me read what the event's going to be. Enjoy an evening of music at an event concert for the Living Peace Wall and the Peace and Justice Center at the Redwood Cafe. And that's going to be, let's see, they didn't give me their address. It's in downtown Cotati. Anyway, if you want to find out more information, you could go at www.michaelgillott.com/music. And you can find out more information. I'm sorry I don't have the information, but it's going to be next Tuesday, August 27th from 7 to 9. So there's a lot going on and a lot to think about. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a musical break now. And I found a wonderful, wonderful song. that I really like, especially we're going to be talking about 2020. And listen, I believe it's time that women have to stand up even stronger than they did 100 years ago to hold on to what we have. And what one of the things that's really interesting that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about the diversity of women for the 2020 celebration. And one of the things that happened way back when is that women, it was a little bit, was not quite as diverse as it should have been. And hopefully we can make up for it in these coming years that we will be celebrating. So let's go ahead. We're going to have a musical break now, and we're going to be playing, oh, I love this song. It's called Battle Hymn of Women, and it's sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Chorus. And when we return, I will be talking with Bernice Espinosa and Leslie Graves of the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, and we'll be talking about some of the plans for 2020 celebration. 100 years since women got the vote next year. It's amazing. So here we go, Battle Hymn for Women.
My eyes have seen the glory of the flame of women's rage, kept smoldering for centuries, now burning in this age. No longer are we prisoners in that same old gilded cage. That's why we're marching on. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or told us to speak softly, to be gentle and to smile. Expected us to change ourselves with every passing style. Said the only work for women was to clean and sweep and pile. That's why we're marching on. It is we who've done your cooking, done your cleaning, kept your rules. We gave birth to all your children and we taught them in your schools. We've kept the system running, but we're laying down our tools. That's why we're marching on. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. Move on over, or we'll move on over you. For women's time has come.
You think that you can buy us off with wedding rings. You never give us half the profit that our labor brings. Our anger eats into us. We no longer bow to kings.
That's why we're marching on. We have broken through our shackles. Now we sing a battle song. We march for liberation and we're many million strong. We'll build a new society. We've waited much too long. That's why.
It took us 70 years to get the vote, and 100 years ago we got it. Now we're still in a struggle. It's amazing, an amazing song. I love it. Anyway, welcome back. For you just joining, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest in the studio with me, Bernice Espinosa, which I just found out is going to be one of the speakers at the Progressive Festival next weekend. That's wonderful, Bernice. And Leslie Graves of Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, and we're going to be talking about the plans for the 2020 celebration. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we begin, I just want to tell my listening audience just a little bit about you. And you know, if you want to throw in anything else after I put this little blurb out, whatever you'd like to share with the listening audience. Bernice Espinoza and Leslie Graves of Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffragette Project. They are both volunteers on the steering committee and members of this local nonprofit project, which was formed to celebrate the centennial of the 19th Amendment and the women's right to vote, starting with a kickoff event on Sunday, December 8th of this year, and continuing throughout next year with programs, speaker series events, and participation in local parades throughout Sonoma County. Anything else you'd like to add, ladies?
Just that we have a very strong group of folks that are part of the organization, both individuals and other organizations. Not being able to join us this morning is Catherine Reinhart, the manager of the Sonoma County History and Genealogy Library, as well as Lisa Graves, no relation to myself, who is the coordinator of the California 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, as well as many, many others that are on various committees of ours. So it's really a strong group.
And one thing I do want to just clarify, we keep saying women's ability to vote for the last 100 years, and part of our focus is realizing that that's not all women that were able to vote 100 years ago. It was only white women that were able to vote 100 years ago. And so our focus is to celebrate that past, but also in looking for the future to make sure that we include all women and also non-binary individuals.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Bernice, because if folks watch Iron Jawed Angels, there's a very, very interesting scene in there with African-American woman Ida B. Wells. And you can get the idea of what happened during that time. That's why I mentioned at the beginning when I was announcing you folks is that the diversity was not there, and hopefully it's going to be here now in 2020. So that is really exciting. You know, before we begin, what I'd like to ask is a simple little question. Let's start with you, Bernice. How did you get involved in all this, and what is inspiring you right now? I mean, I know you're very excited about the diversity aspect of it, but what's the excitement for you?
Well, there was an invitation sent out. I actually received an invitation from Supervisor Linda Hopkins to attend a meeting back in November of 2018 to sort of think about these ideas. And really, that was my main motivation, was being able to make sure that this particular celebration was inclusive and had aspects of social justice, to realize that we don't want to repeat some of the problematic situations that we had 100 years ago.
Well, that's why history is so important. You know, people don't realize, you know, how do you clear things up? You look at your history, you see the mistakes you made, you maybe apologize for them, and then you move on and try to collectively correct it. So it's really, that's a very interesting point. And how about you, Leslie? How did you get involved? I mean, you've been organizing quite a few things here in the county, by the way, where you're going to be doing, I think it's the Rosie the Riveter is coming up even for you.
That's
but
right,
talk
that's right.
A little bit how you got involved with this.
Well, I actually reached out myself because I realized how important 2020 is both locally and nationally. 2020 will be one of the first times that many of our residents here in Santa Rosa are voting in district elections. We have yet another election for county supervisor seats. And then nationally, obviously, we all know how important that election is coming up. And I really feel personally for myself that it's all hands on deck, that we really have to reach out in all ways possible, whether they be very educational and very purposeful events or those that are fun, like a Rosie the Riveter rally that has a lot of history tied to it. And this 2020 project, we have to look backwards in order to look at history, in order for us to move the needle forward. So we're going to have to do that with purpose, see where the challenges and maybe some of those deficiencies and ways that we can be more inclusive can be developed in order to create something for change in the future. And 2020 is a really important year to do that in.
I love it. 2020 sounds good. For some reason, just 2020. I don't know. I don't know why it sounds wonderful to me. Well, let's talk, you know, Bernice, you mentioned about diversity. What is the mission? What do you see of the goal, the absolute goal of the event that you folks are trying to pull together?
So we actually are part of our state project, and I'm going to let Leslie talk a little bit about our state project mission, and that's been part of their mission as well, as to have inclusivity.
Yeah, the California California 2020 Women's Suffrage Project was really developed by the National Women's History Alliance.
And remind the National Women's History
Alliance
was born here in Sonoma County. Shout out to Molly McGregor.
That's right. In 1980, it was born right here out of the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women and Sonoma State University and a lot of the women's studies programs that were happening there. That has been doing amazing work throughout the country and a lot of diverse work as well, making it intersectional history and putting women in those history books. The California 2020 Women's Suffrage Project was born out of that, looking to make sure that all counties throughout California recognized, acknowledged, and celebrated this centennial coming up in 2020. So we're happy to be a part of it, and we're also very happy to be committed to their goals of education, empowerment, and equality, as well as inclusion. And like Bernice was saying earlier, our extra commitment there, and really it's needed. It's the basis of what we're doing, is that we have to be committed to creating programming that really looks at those challenges and makes sure that we are inclusive to women of color, non-binary individuals, and trans women. So all hands on deck.
Well, I'm going to give you a little history. We went to Sonoma State together, Molly McGregor and I, and it was so interesting when all of a sudden we discovered that there was never a women's art show. Wow. Like someone asked a question about women in art, and they said, oh, women in art? It was like a big question mark, and we went on a search for women in art, and that's how it kind of started, the whole history project. And suddenly, and also Molly McGregor was a high school teacher, and some of her students were asking her questions about different women's issues, and she couldn't answer them. She went through the history books trying to find things out. It was almost impossible. And therefore, the idea of the Women's History Project was born, and boom, here we are. What, 1980? It's what, it, what 80 is about, what, almost 40 years old?
40 years old.
And it's really very, very strong. And here we are, 2020, with the celebration. Well, Bernice, talk a little bit about the project, about diversity. How do you hope to bring it forward? What are some of the things that you're finding out? And what are some of the things that you definitely want to present to the public?
Well, our structure is such that we actually wanted to have a real focus on social justice and advocacy. And so we made an entire committee focused on that. And the purpose of the committee is to advocate for populations that continue to experience oppression, address inequities to ensure all women, including trans women and non-binary individuals, have access to voting rights, and to ensure that the inclusion and representation of all women who were not part of the suffrage movement are part of each component of creating this particular series of events and this celebration that we're having. And so in doing that, we made sure that there's certain tasks that keep us on point. And one of those things is implementing our purpose at all levels of the project, registering women to vote, but not just women who have homes, those experiencing homelessness, women that are experiencing incarceration. And we're also trying to put together a women's history book for Sonoma County, including trans women and all women that are in our county, on first things that have happened with different women in our county. And we're going to have a series of different political conversations on these topics of privilege, disenfranchisement, intersectional feminism. And that's one of the ways that we're trying to finding your voice, trying to make sure that it's not just a conversation that is limited to some, but for all, and to make sure that we have a conversation about how do these things continue to happen, and can we dismantle some of these things so that we can move forward and actually be politically engaged. And one of the things that we hope to see is also actual program to teach women and non-binary people and people who have been traditionally marginalized how to become political figures and run for office as local or as wide as they want to.
Well, you know, those are very, very important points. You know, one of the things I think, you know, I do a lot of analysis around women. Like, for example, letters to the editor, it's always more men than women. You know, if you're listening to talk shows, there's always more men than women that are calling up. And, you know, and also as far as diversity goes, it's usually not the women of color that will be calling up. Usually it's Caucasian women. So you see all these imbalances. So I think it's very important. And I just want to add another thing just for my listeners. I'm very, very, very proud to be part of that committee. And we actually are going to be having a meeting here at KBBF this Wednesday. And we will talk a little bit about it. And it's open to all women, all people who want to come. I mean, we'll have a little conversation about that. But I'm very proud to be part of the committee. And so happy that you're doing this, especially since when I first saw that whole thing with Ida B. Wells. I said, something is wrong here. And even when I went to Sonoma State, when I was at Sonoma State, there was something wrong because there was very little diversity. And there was a mistake. I've been interviewing several times a woman by the name of Dr. Harriet Fraud. And one of the things that she brought up, she felt that the women's, one of the failures of the women's movement was, is that they instead of going into just just equality and pay, they did not go into the diversity of it all, and that some women are being left out, and that is very important. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I want to thank you, Elaine, for taking the time to be a part of our committee and making sure that we actually make these things happen. And, you know, you are walking institutional knowledge, and we really appreciate all of the work that you do for us.
Well, thank you. Well, talk a little bit how this committee is, how it's evolving, what are some of the things you've done, how many meetings you've had, what some of your challenges are, and how people can support you.
Well, thanks. Yeah. You know, before we go on any further, I just want to give hats off to Bernice and also her co-chair of the Social Justice and Advocacy Committee, Kristen Long, for really heading that up and making it to where not only that committee is working on all of these great projects, but making those of us in the other committees aware to really address some of those issues as well. So it's such a cooperative venture that we are taking on. And when we talk about what we're doing out in the county and how we've done that, we have succumbed some challenges and we're looking forward to moving on. Like I said, December 8th is our kickoff on Sunday, December 8th from 2 to 4, which is at the Saturday afternoon club in Santa Rosa. So
why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah,
Talk a little bit about what the kickoff is going to be and what you hope to accomplish.
Yeah, the kickoff is going to be great. The Saturday Afternoon Club itself is a site of suffragist meetings in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. It was actually built in 1894, still stands on the same place. There's gone through a little bit of renovations, but what I like to think about is that there are actually molecules in that building that we are going to be breathing in and exhaling that suffragists themselves participated in. And so that's very exciting. Sunday, December 8th from 2 to 4 p.m., we will have, Bernice, I think that you have one of the opening ceremonies you can talk
that's
about.
That's right. We're trying to, again, make sure that we're reverent to the land where we are and recognizing that this is native land, and we're going to be asking for our native community to be participants and having an open ceremony and making sure again that women, trans women, people of color are part of the leadership and part of presenting and setting the tone for this particular series of events that we're going to be doing, and that's really important to us. And so we're going to have an opening ceremony that focuses on that.
Well, also, you know, it makes the celebration a lot richer, you know, and what I find is the reason that we do not have as much diversity as we'd like is because we don't know one another. We don't mix enough. We don't come together enough. And this is definitely an opportunity to do that. Well, also,
I do want to mention, va a ser en español también, there will be language access. And so we will be having interpreters at all of our events to make sure that there's language access.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be what, in español?
That's right. If there's other needs, we'll be happy to provide those.
Okay, so talk a little bit about next week is going to be Women's Equality Day. Talk about are we doing anything special for that?
Yeah, so Monday, August 26th is Women's Equality Day. So that was the day that the 19th Amendment was signed into the Constitution. It was actually yesterday that it passed in the 36th state in Tennessee, and then it went on just about a week later on August 26th and was signed into law. That became Women's Equality Day. And this year, although we don't have an event where we're all coming together, what we have done is reached out to some some of the local cities that have different color light displays, and they have agreed to change their lights to purple, white, and yellow, which stands in for gold, and those are the suffragist colors from 1920. They were on the celebration flag, and that will be happening in Windsor in the town green. The city of Santa Rosa is also working on it for the courthouse square, and potentially you might find also a light display in Rohnert Park at one of the major institutions there where they play music. But I won't say their name because they haven't confirmed yet. So, but you can just imagine where that will be. It's really exciting. It'll be just our nod to Women's Equality Day and August 26th and the 99th anniversary of the signing in of the 19th Amendment.
I have to say something. I'm so excited about the colors. I mean, there was such a struggle to get the colors. You know, the colors were so important. And now, you know, to have this done, I mean, amazing. So who was responsible for that? Was that your – did you do that, Leslie? Come on.
I was a little birdie in people's ears. And next year we hope to have more of them. Other cities are definitely going to be joining in on that very special day. It was a very late call, and I really appreciate those cities that are able to do that. If there's any other businesses out there, you can definitely contact us. Just check out our website at www.socowomen2020. You'll see our email address there. Contact us and let us know that you might want to do it. We'll include you in all of our social media.
There's plenty of work to be done. The more the merrier, and we'd be happy to have you. We also have a wonderful Facebook page that gives historical updates every week, and it's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bernice gave me a little acclimé. You gave Bernice and her co-chair a little acclimé. I want to give Leslie a little acclimé. If you want something done, give it to Leslie. I'm sorry. I'm just blown away about the colors. That's amazing. So they're going to change the lights. Where are the lights going to be changed?
So the Windsor Town Green. Downtown. Yeah.
They have
some lights in the Town Green itself. I think they're usually lit up during the holiday celebrations. And then actually in Courthouse Square, they're working on that too. They have some towers, some Luther Burbank dedicated towers, and around the kiosk that they're trying to light up in those three colors as well. So that's really just kind of a nice little nod. And definitely everybody is encouraged to reach out to women that have been influential. I would reach out to you, Elaine, and let you know how important and special you are in our lives. You know, write a letter, write a postcard, make a phone call, even use Facebook Messenger, and let women know that they are important, that they're valued, and you know, keep moving forward. It's really hard right now in 2019 with everything going on to not get a little bit burnt out. So let's make sure that we're lifting everybody up so that we can keep going.
Well, we're at the end of the segment, so what I'd like you to do is give us the website again, the Facebook again, and any other last words that you would like to say.
Well, my real quick last words is one of the reasons that I have decided to participate is this is really a collaboration. Yes, there are a handful of people that are doing some of the nuts and bolts, but we're reaching out and collaborating with people all over the county. With North Bay Organizing Project, LOCIEN, the Women's Voters League. I'm sorry, I'm messing that word up.
League of Women Voters.
League of Women Voters. Now, there's so many different collaborators that we have, and we're excited about doing this together.
Well, I want to make an announcement on behalf of NOW. We are actually doing a calendar of the suffragette movement locally. So if anybody out there has any pictures or any information or anything that you feel is important, if you have a mother or a grandmother or somebody who have one of those secret photos in your photos, please email Elaine@womenspaces.com and I will contact you. And also all the information that these women are giving will be on our website at Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. Okay, one last thing. Give our websites, the Facebook, and anything else you'd like to add.
Yeah, our website is www.socowomen2020. org, and our social media pages. You can find those if you just use that at symbol and go to SoCo Women 2020. So we made it really easy. Just Google SoCo Women 2020. Our name is a little long, so we made it simple for everybody. And in fact, our email address, the same thing, SoCoWomen2020@gmail.com. So you reach out to us, and obviously everything will be on your website. And we really do thank all of those collaborating organizations. Our calendar is quite robust on our website. Please do check it out. And all of those organizations are also mentioned with links to them as well. So thank you so much to everybody. I know that there's going to be a lot of people partaking in our events and in our discussion series, as well as speaker series and whatnot. And we just want to appreciate them beforehand, because we know how important the year 2020 is.
Well, thank both you. I want to thank Leslie Graves and I always want to call you something as Bernice Espinosa for being here and talking about the 2020 celebration that's coming up next year. And thank you so much for your work. And I look forward to being at the celebration on December. What was the date again?
Sunday, December 8th.
Yeah, and I'll have a few announcements. And we'll have Leslie on once more, you know, to talk about it before the 8th. So thank you both so much for being on Women's Spaces and for everything that you're doing.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Wow, boy, that is a lot. There's so much going on. Ladies, this is our year. This is our time. You know, it's just amazing. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is called What on Earth? Just listen to the words on this one, sung by Earth Mama. And when we come back, joining me in the studio will be Megan Kaw, who's an environmental engineer who has taken an unexpected journey into the world of pesticides, and Julie Royas, founder of the Toxins Free Future Campaign in Rohnert Park, which she founded in 2018. And these are women that are committed to make the world free of pesticides.
What are you doing today for tomorrow? Where on earth are you going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are you doing for tomorrow? Tomorrow, where on earth are we going if we don't find a better way? Every little thing we do really makes a difference. What on earth are we doing for tomorrow today? Today is only a fleeting moment. Every little
Well, I'll tell you one thing we're doing that we did yesterday for tomorrow was that Katati became pesticide free. I mean, that's an amazing, amazing feat. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, Megan Kahn. Megan, welcome.
Thank you, Elaine, for having me.
Yeah, this way we can identify your voice. And sitting next to Megan is Julie Royes. Welcome, Julie.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's amazing. We have a little... Is that feedback on there? I hope it's okay. Anyway, let me tell the folks just a little bit about each one of you. Is that okay? Julie Royes is a military wife, which is really interesting. A military wife, you have to tell us a little bit about that, and a mother of two. She decided to do something about synthetic pesticide use in public spaces after her doctor tied her son mysterious skin rashes to low dose exposure to the synthetic pesticide glyphosate and others being used near her own. Julie started the Toxics Free Future campaign in Rohnert Park in 2018 to create more safe public spaces in Sonoma County. Interesting, the song said every little thing we do. Now this is a big thing that you decided to form because of your son having this rash. Just amazing to me. Megan Kahn is an environmental engineer. She's been on the show before, and it's a joy to have her on again, who has taken an unexpected journey into the world of pesticide. An experience at her local park regarding weed killer application near a children's playground inspired Megan to work towards eliminating unnecessary synthetic pesticide use in Sonoma County. Through her work as a private citizen scientist and as a board member of the Sonoma County Conservation Action, SCCA, and Santa Rosa Water, former members, sounds like. She has helped bring enlightened landscape policies to numerous municipal agencies and schools. Megan holds an engineering degree from Stanford and Northwestern universities. And as we mentioned before, Megan, Ken also has a degree from Stanford in material science. So thank you both for being here. Welcome. Let's start with you. First of all, anything else you'd like to add? You know, real curious, Julia, what's it like to be a military wife? I mean, my goodness, I've never had anybody describe that in their bio.
It's actually really interesting, and it's an adventure. Most military families move every 2 to 4 years. I've been lucky enough to be more on the 4 to 8 year mark. My family's lived all over the country, so we've got to really experience different cultures, different people, landscape. And I've been married 15 years to my husband, who's in the Coast Guard. And we are really happy here in Sonoma County, and we are planning to make this our home.
But also, it's wonderful to know that within the military establishment that there are many progressive thinkers and people that are doing things. You know, it's not all set in stone, like this is who's in the military. This, you know, there's so much diversity that we really have to recognize. And that's the beauty of it all. Anything that you'd like to add, Megan? Anything that we haven't mentioned?
No, just really glad to be here to talk about our work. We've had a ton of success recently in creating more toxic-free public spaces in Sonoma County. We just had a win in Katati last week that we're really excited about, ramping up to talk about Rohnert Park in a week, I guess. Just glad to be here to talk about all the great work we've been doing.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I write for the Sonoma County Gazette, and it's out on the first week of the month. And I just did a whole article on glyphosate and also its impact, what's happening in Santa Rosa itself. And it's very interesting because what Santa Rosa did was is they have a company that does all their maintenance. And what they've done for the past year, they said no pesticides. And now they're coming up for an evaluation. So that was interesting. So what's the difference between, say, Rohnert Park, difference between, say, Katati and Santa Rosa?
Sure. So every city has different ways of going about this issue. In Katati last week, the city council officially banned glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, and they also promised to come back with a full ban on all synthetic pesticides. So Roundup is just one of the many synthetic pesticides that are used for weed killing at parks locally. Other alternatives are often even less safe safe than Roundup or less tested. So our campaign is really focusing on all synthetic pesticides. Our goal is to get all synthetic pesticides banned at our cities. In Santa Rosa, they decided not to do a full ban last year. They decided to have their landscape contractor stop using all synthetic pesticides, and they were the only ones spraying in the city. So effectively, it did ban synthetic pesticide use in Santa Rosa. However, you're right, Elaine, they're coming back and relooking at it again, and we'll have to go back to council probably in September to let them know that we want the city to stay synthetic pesticide free.
Well, you know, it's real interesting. I just want to throw a little bit, you know, children are very important, but I notice that oftentimes people pay more attention to what's happening with their dogs and their animals than they do with children. And one of the things that we've found out is that a lot of dogs are getting cancer because of the fact that they spray around the trees. And if you notice, your dog goes and starts sniffing around the trees, they're sniffing up the pesticides. And we have made a concerted effort to make sure that our dog, Rosie, is trained not to go by trees in the park. So that's something to really be aware of. So the whole idea of getting rid of these synthetic pesticides not only affects our children, ourselves, our air, everything, but also our animals. Thought I would throw that in again. Well, talk about a little bit, number one, talk about
glyphosate,
and how it's in Roundup and how it impacts our environment and why it's important that we stop using that.
Sure. So glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup. It is on its own very unsafe, but in Roundup and in all other weed killer products, it's mixed with adjuvants and surfactants that make it even more toxic to our bodies. So glyphosate on its own is water soluble. So often the companies will say, oh, it just goes out of your body in your urine. It's safe. It won't linger in your body. But when mixed with the surfactants and adjuvants that they put in that product, it binds it to fat. And so we're actually finding glyphosate stored in our bodies, in breast milk, in our hair, in our blood, in our urine.
It bonds to our fat?
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
And the companies, you know, would say that glyphosate, it goes away, it dissipates, it breaks down, but that's not true because it's being found in highly processed food products, for example, like Cheerios. It's being found in our wines. It's being found in water, in rain. It's everywhere right now. There's actually a peer-reviewed study that came out that said that over 90% of the families tested had the herbicide glyphosate in their body. So it's not going away. It's in all of us. And it's very harmful. It's an endocrine disruptor, which means that it does things like cause premature puberty, which I'm seeing a lot in my children's schools.
Yeah.
It also, of course, is a carcinogen. It also hurts our livers and our kidneys. It gets into our waterways and hurts our aquatic animals. So it's really detrimental to the health of us and our ecosystems.
You know, I got to ask you both a question. I mean, when I'm listening to all the stuff you're saying, especially what I didn't know about the fat, you know, that it wraps around our, I mean, that is very serious. That means it stays in your body. And it just, you know, just to, for people just to kind of understand that, it's just like, you know, when they do drug testing, you know, and all of a sudden they find a drug in your body, it's because it's kind of attached to your fat. So when they do the blood test, there it is. And it doesn't go away. It does not go away. It takes months. With the marijuana testing, it takes 30 days to get that out of your system. Imagine with a poison like glyphosate. I mean, that is, it's really amazing. Well, what I'd like you to address real quickly is two things. One is, number one, the challenges that you're facing as you go to each city. But secondly, how do you keep yourself motivated when you're listening to all this negative stuff, all these bad things? Then when you go in front of the city councils and they're stalling or they're waiting or they're not, you know, all the different things. How do you keep yourself motivated? And go ahead, address those two issues if you could.
Absolutely. It is difficult to continue to stay motivated when you have people tell you things like Roundup is safe and it's cheap and it works. However, I saw the red inflamed rashes on my son's skin, and I heard his screams from the shower trying to wipe the synthetic pesticides and the hives off of him. So I have this inspiration that comes from my children that are part of me to continue going and to continue showing up to get synthetic pesticides out of our public spaces.
I just want to comment on something here, and I want my listeners to listen to this. I want to thank you, because that's the most important thing. You know, one of the things that I say on this show a lot is our children are the future, and we must pay attention to that. And if something happens to one mother's child, it could happen to any mother's child. So if your child has a rash, or this child over here has cancer from this thing, that means your child is exposed. If they're going to pull your kid away from you at the border, that means that if anything like that happens in this country, it could happen to your, to you and your child. It's very important what you said, Julie. So I just wanted to, I had to emphasize that, because the children are our future. And if we don't take care of them, what is our future going to look like? Okay, just, I just had to say that.
Thank you so much for saying that. They are, we are their voice.
Well, they didn't ask to be born. We made the decision to bring these children into the world. We made that decision. You know, and if you're going to protest about saving the fetus, we need healthy fetuses. When you're talking about it's being in your blood, it means it's in your blood while you're pregnant. So you mean there's a lot of things that we need to pay attention to. So go ahead, talk a little bit then about your challenges. What are some of your challenges, Megan? I mean,
this is really difficult work. It's really draining to one's energy to have to sit in meetings with people at cities or with other interested in parties and continue to advocate for our public health.
But you're a mother too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have two kids, 7 and 11.
Uh-huh.
And they're also my inspiration, of course. I mean, I got into this work because they were spraying near my kids' playground. When I called the city to ask them if I could pull the weeds, they told me I couldn't. And then they said not to worry because Roundup was safe to drink. And that was really my big aha moment. I realized that if somebody managing my park thought that Roundup was drinkable, then it was probably being used indiscriminately all over town. And I did the research. I found out that that was the case in 2015. Every single city in our county and most of the school districts, most of the 40 school districts, used Roundup or other synthetic pesticides for routine cosmetic weed control. And that's completely unacceptable.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Sonoma County, they have one of the highest children's cancer rate in the United States. And I want to remind people, there was a book written in 1962 called Silent Spring. And what was so interesting, that it was written by Rachel Carson. And what was so interesting about that is that the pesticide industry made her into mincemeat. I mean, they tried to destroy her reputation and everything. And this is exactly what she's saying. Silent Spring is about humanity's misguided attempts to control nature through the use of chemical pesticide. Find out how using manufactured poisons to kill unwanted pests disrupts the delicate balance of nature and threatens our very existence. Ultimately, these poisons have the power to destroy the environment, infect the food we eat, and contaminate our very lives. This is from 1962.
That's right, and we're reliving that same paradigm right now. The chemical companies, they're not using DDT anymore. They switched from DDT to 2,4-D. You know, now we're with Roundup and glyphosate. That's why our campaign is not just about Roundup. In Rohnert Park, for example, they use 5 really toxic weed killers in most of their parks on their lawns, directly where kids are rolling around and playing. Glyphosate's just one of them. They're using triclopyr, arizalin, dithopyr, and isocybin in addition. And these are also associated with cancer and endocrine disruption and kidney and liver disease. So it's not okay to just do a Roundup ban. We really need to get rid of all synthetic pesticides.
And there are better ways. There are much better ways. I know, I mean, we use, to get rid of snails, we use oat bran. I mean, you know, that's not, you know, there's all kinds of toxic chemicals out there to get rid of snails. But we found out the old-fashioned way is use a little bit of oat bran. Well, we're coming very quickly to the end of this segment, and there's just so much to cover. So why don't you go ahead and talk about what's the next step in Rohnert Park and anything else that you find is important and how our listeners can support your effort.
Thank you. Another challenge that we're finding is that people are busy. But it is vital that all the listeners here show up on August 27th at 5 p.m. at Rohnert Park City Hall. You may sit in solidarity, or you may speak your mind, often in 3 minutes. But if you show up to support toxic-free landscaping in Rohnert Park, I know together we can get this synthetic ban. The more people we have in that city hall on August 27th at 5 o'clock, the more likely we will get it.
And why do you say that? Because the people vote for these people. You've got to be there. You've got to put pressure. You've got to let them know that you're concerned and this is why you voted them in.
Exactly.
So that's very, very important. Anything else that you'd like to add to that, Megan?
Sure, yeah. So we have campaign updates on our Conservation Actions website. The URL is www.conservationaction.org/news/toxic-free. And so all the updates on this campaign in Rohnert Park and all the other ones we're running are on that page. You can find out more about how to get involved.
Also, you know, it's one of the things that I've been thinking about. Ken's probably going to fall off his chair when I say this. I'm thinking about doing a blog on women's spaces. So you might send me the information. I'd like to make sure that there's people are getting the information that you know, that they're having meetings and where they're having. So when is your next meeting and when is the next gathering? You're going to be meeting at Rohnert Park, and then does the Conservation Action or the Talk to Free, do they meet at any specific time that people might be able to get involved?
So there's no regular meetings right now. There will likely be a Santa Rosa Council meeting in September. There will probably also be a Petaluma Council meeting in September or October where that city will also consider banning synthetic pesticides. The majority of cities in the county and the county itself have banned synthetic pesticides already. So we just have a few left to go, and we can use everyone's help.
Well, I want to thank both of you for all the work that you're doing, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and thank you so much for being inspired because of the fact, number one, you are mothers. Just like I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother and a great-grandmother, and being a great-grandmother, you say, no, now we really have to start moving. Come on, guys. So thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces and for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Oh, my goodness. A special thank. That's it for our show. A special thank you to Bernice Espinosa and Leslie Graves of the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, and we'll be talking, oh, my goodness, what a great event that's going to be. There's going to be a meeting this Wednesday night here from 6 to 7:30 at KBBF at 1700 Corby Avenue, Suite B. Everybody is welcome. A special thank you to Megan Kahn, an environmental engineer, and Julie Royce from Rohnert Park, who started the Toxic Free Future campaign in Rohnert Park in 2018. This is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 19th, 2019.